We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, how do people mispronounce your name, Mike Shope? How do they do it?
Well,
what's the most common one, mispronunciation?
Chop. It's the only way. I mean, that's what it should be.
Should it be that?
That's what I usually get. So
you're talking to a Sislowski, someone whose name was mispronounced by every elementary teacher. No one can get it.
Yeah. I'm the guy who bugs the other industry guys when they can't say names like Okonkwo. Come on, just look at it.
Right. You know whose name I keep getting tripped up on is Israel Abanacanda. I think that's the first time I've ever said it right. I keep calling him Izzy A because I'm copping out.
Well, I think you got it.
You inspired me. I felt the pressure to get it right. But something else that I think that we can do today is this is dynasty startup season, Mike. And there's, I've done 4 or 5 startups already this year. I'm in a ton of existing leagues. And you don't even need to be in that many to understand that everyone, you hear it all the time on social media. It's like everyone's rebuilding. I'm 2 years away from competing. And that's nonsense. One, it's because 4 or 5 teams are always rebuilding. They're in perpetual rebuild. So what I'm saying is if you're stuck in 8th place, in 9th place, in 10th place, I want to give people a few suggestions today how they can get right back into the fantasy playoffs within a year, maybe that exact year. Does that sound like a worthwhile activity?
Yes, because it's a tough task. People get married to their picks. We just had a year where – like you were supposed to protect your 2023 draft picks. And then we got through the NFL draft and nobody wanted to pick any lower than like 104.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm guilty of it. It's a weakness of mine because I just love draft picks. And if my team isn't, if there are 3 teams in a 12 team league that I think are clearly better than mine, sort of like, okay, well, what can we do toward the future? And I also realized that fantasy playoffs are very random. And getting in should be worth more than I tend to treat it as. So, I mean, I think this is a good idea for a discussion because it's not easy to figure out what the moves are to get, to get back, to the top.
And you said something also interesting is that in addition, the reason fantasy football is the most popular fantasy sport, Mike, is because there is an element of like luck variance, like, any Bob from accounting can play and compete in your 12 team league, and especially when you get into the fantasy playoffs, when you just have to win a couple games, your superstars dud out, some crazy sleeper that you're forced to start can go off. So, I think that, that'll be the starting point for our discussion. And I loved what you said about the draft picks. And that a lot of people, I've heard it already. I've heard, get your 2024 picks, right? Yeah. Trade these in. But we're going to get there next year. And, of course, it's going to be top heavy. I mean, there was a time where Joe Burrow was tank for Tua. And then Joe Burrow emerged as the number one overall, quarterback in that class. So I guess really let's start with the quarterback position, right? Yep. I think our first tip should be, why don't we lean into players that have depressed values that we already know are proven? And that leads me to Kyler Murray. Nobody wants Kyler Murray this year. What do you think Kyler is as a fantasy asset this year? Does he play next year? Is this someone that we should lean into while the price is depressed?
I think so. The key thing for me is that he's paying. So a lot of people seem, for some reason, you know, even within his own organization, to be negative toward him. That there was a lot of that last year, but he has a contract. He's going to play for somebody. If he doesn't play for Arizona, that might even be good after this year. I think this year for them, what it looks like to me, and I think maybe to many, is that their incentive is to bottom out. He probably shouldn't be ready for the start of the season. You know the type of player he is. I mean, at least that'll be mitigated, whereas running, who knows if it comes back, right? Like you see Dak Prescott, who stopped running after he broke his ankle, pretty much. So, yeah, I think Murray is a good play for somebody thinking 2024 and beyond, but I don't expect him to be relevant really at all this year. Could happen. I mean, in best ball drafts, I've taken some of them just in case, you know, those important to those playoff weeks. You might see him then, but I think Arizona is probably really going to be terrible and they should go slow with him.
What do you think Arizona will do if they get the number one overall pick? There's supposed to be a couple, if they get a couple all timers. You talked about the contract for Murray, and we're going to tie this back to what you should be doing in Dynasty in a moment, but if you're running the Arizona Cardinals and you have Kyler Murray, and let's say he didn't play at all this year. Let's say like he was ready, but they were already out of it. Now you have two top five picks. Let's say they have pick 1 and 4. I mean, they're going to seriously think about it. They already have a history, this franchise, of getting rid of their top 10 quarterback.
That's how they got Murray.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, so. I mean, we just had this with Chicago, too. I mean, Chicago, they could trade Justin Fields or they could draft someone new, like a Young or a Stroud, but Murray has the contract. That'll be the key thing in terms of what kind of trade value he might have. I mean, there's just this sort of weird negativity about him, but only takes one. And I think that just like in fantasy, Alan, I mean, the optimal thing would be to consider the option of drafting a replacement for him. You know, Caleb Williams would be the name probably, and moving on, but they'd have to get right in the trade to do that. And if it ends up being that he's still there, you know, somebody will do great in terms of a draft pick or a traded pick like the Bears, you know, very similar maybe to where Chicago looks, how they look now.
Yeah, and that's going to be our first, this whole conversation around Kyler Murray is our first tip on how to fix that dynasty roster quickly. Whoever has Kyler Murray, especially there's teams in my dynasty leagues, Mike, that have Murray in like these super flex leagues where there's two quarterbacks and Murray's one of their quarterbacks and they don't have another quarterback. I mean, they had Tom Brady retire off their roster. They're not sure if Matt Stafford's going to come back. So this is when these top 10-ish fantasy quarterbacks are buyable for, I mean, on a much higher level. I mean, in the startup drafts, Pat Mahomes was going as like the fourth or third quarterback behind Justin Herbert. And that might not seem like a buy opportunity, but it was. And in past years, there's so many of these things where, you know, you could easily see Kyler Murray. I mean, if he was perfectly healthy, he'd be a top 8 fantasy quarterback, probably a top 6. I mean, you know, depending on your flavor for and what you think of him. But buying injured players in general, I think, is a good way to fix your dynasty roster within a year.
Too, I think Murray probably was 5 or 6 overall in the Superflex startup last year. I was very much into him last year, and it was just a weird season. But sure, you know, you'll get the occasional, like Cam Akers when he tore his Achilles in the middle of the offseason. You get those occasional moments where there are those opportunities to invest in guys like that. So I think it's a good strategy for sure. The dynasty startup scene in Superflex is
the
just
cult.
Crazy.
Wait, not and, the scene, it's a cult.
Yeah, well, the quarterback, yes. Adam Krautwurst and I are in the 6th round of a startup right now at FFPC, and 9 quarterbacks in the first round. It's exciting to be the guy that doesn't do that.
Right.
And cause then you've got Jefferson and Bijan or something by the second round, and you figure out what to do.
What's your quarterback
also,
plan then, Mike? If you're one
stressful.
Of the team. Yeah, right. What is so? Give like if you're in this, if you've gone receiver, running back, or some combination. Let's say you've even sprinkled a tight end. You're in round 6. You have no quarterbacks. Is it like the Geno, or are you going old man with Stafford? Like, what do you advise people to do if this is their situation?
I think you know you might end up having to be a team that gets to the veterans. quarterback, and then after that, with a start like Jefferson and Robinson, you can kind of go either way. But I do not like punting the first year because I think not beyond quarterback, but including quarterback, that the value is in guys like Nick Chubb or somebody like that, you know, Cup, guys who've been in the league 6 to 8 years, but still are highly productive. And, you know, I want to trust my ability to, over time, get, you know, younger and make that kind of transition. But I don't like walking into a startup and punting year one. So Matt Stafford, Kirk Cousins, guys like that. Maybe I'd want to have, you know, maybe a Lance makes sense.
He's the next guy on my list. He's the next guy on my list. Should dynasty drafters who are trying to repair their roster in 1 year, Lance, I mean, in the beginning of startup season, Mike, he was going in the second round. Now he's QB 18. I mean, you can get, I'm in a startup right now in round 7. Nobody's even, like, he keeps getting pushed down the board. Is that another player that can help? I mean, is those the type of swings that you're willing to take?
I will take a chance on him only at the right price. And I should say that that's because I was heavily into him when he came out. Like, that's my portfolio happens to have a lot of stuck Trey Lance shares. And he doesn't have that contract. And he is, of course, at a real risk of having to go to a new team. And that doesn't work very often. Like, if somebody else will maybe trade for him on the cheap and not be as committed, not be as sort of hot committed as the 49ers should have been, or most teams are when it comes to high draft pick quarterbacks. It's just been a weird one that he hasn't really had a chance yet. He did get hurt last year. I think that sort of gets ignored, because the common narrative is that they don't like him. And maybe that's true, too. That's how they usually sound. But he was their starting quarterback last year and broke his ankle and lost the year that way. So it's risky because he might not get a shot in San Francisco. And if he ends up going somewhere else, then you have to wonder how long, you know, they'll get, what kind of a chance they'll give him. Man, though, it's been frustrating to have a lot of him, and you just don't know what to do. Like, you can't really sell him unless you get somebody that's just maybe the guy you're talking about at the beginning of our conversation, that is looking for ways to set themselves up better off in the next couple of years.
I'm here with Mike Shope, and you follow him at DeepEndFF1, right? That's your Twitter handle, Mike?
I'm at Shope Talk. I didn't write it up there. S-C-H-O-P-P-T-A-L-K. Deep End is my podcast with Adam Krautwurst.
All right. Let people know about that real quick, because it's become quickly appointment viewing for me. So let everybody know when and where that is.
Yeah, we're on the Player Profiler Network. We shoot for Tuesday nights. Sometimes, you know, his kids have soccer and I've got something else, so we move around a little bit. But normal time is Tuesday night at 9 Eastern. Actually, this weekend, we've kind of had a tradition of drafting the Fantasy Pros Championship, it's now known as, at the FFPC, drafting teams there. So we're going to do like a doubleheader, two drafts Sunday night. They still have openings in them, 8:30 and 10 Eastern, and that'll air on Monday afternoon. We've got Mike Leone, Darren Armani from Fantasy Mojo, Theo Greminger is going to draft. That'll be Sunday night to air Monday.
All right. Sounds good. Good group right there to draft with. All right. We're talking about ways to repair your dynasty roster. And I think I don't want to leave this topic of leaning into uncertainty. You talked about Cam Akers earlier. He's still a lot, you know, he's a value. I took him in like the 5th round of our dynasty startup that I'm in right now. People thought that was reachy. I'm like, wow, it seems like a value to me given how he finished the year. How about Javonte Williams? There's a lot of, you know, what I call stinky cheese on him right now, right? I mean, nobody wants Javonte, or if they get him, his price is depressed. You know, thinking about how J.K. Dobbins' performance was last year, I'm not expecting a great season from Javonte, but if you were in on Javonte before, Sean Payton, the coach now of Denver, is this a player that we should be leaning into as a way to repair our dynasty roster within a full season? And then, Mike, this is just a technical thing. Your camera is shaking. I think it's because your hands are probably on the table or something like that. So,
thanks for
someone. Someone commented that they were getting dizzy. So I just, it's all right. You know, by the way, it was cool. Mike is a professional radio guy. I feel silly giving him advice because he is the voice of what's the name of your station in Buffalo?
WGR, but I'm not on camera very often. So that has been, that's a transition for sure.
Yeah, well,
Night.
Mike's handsome. You see, I, you know, they look at me, and I actually have the, you know, the radio, as they say, the voice for radio. But you, you actually have that real announcer voice. That, you know, this is a compliment. A yuck yuck radio voice, like, because, but it's like you have this. You know, nobody likes the sound of their own voice. Mike, you must love it. You must sit there.
No,
and you don't.
No,
even
I'm
a pro
no
like you.
To that.
Explain that.
I mean, I understand that. I think I sound good, but no, I don't like the sound of my own voice any more than anybody else. So no, can
yep.
So Javonte Williams,
yep.
Can I say first, I've never been in on Javonte Williams. You want to know why?
I do.
Mario. So like what I am not the sort to like player takes are really not my thing. My way is to sort of defer and people that have just crushed film and really know the game on an expert level, I want to know what they think, and then I'll take my cues. And so, as I'm sure you're aware, Mario Puig of RotoWire yeah. has been very negative toward Javonte Williams like the whole time. And what I do is I sort of, certain players make me think of certain analysts. And so Javonte Williams for me is always like Mario, right? And so many people were so excited about him that it was easy for me to just not have any shares because right. like, Mario. So doesn't mean it's right, but that's just to preface
you
my answer to your question, like what to do with him.
But you just said something that I think is an underrated thing in fantasy. It's that we all, you know, we all, the proverbial we all think that we, you know, we know these players, we know how they're going to perform, and then nobody, and again, straw man argument, thinks that their take is going to be wrong. Like the where I've strengthened my game, my player take sort of thing, is that I accept that I could be wrong and that what happens if I am. And for example, I'm big on Rashad White this year, especially where he's going, pass catching. But what happens if, you know, this offseason, Zeke, Leonard Fournette, or Kareem Hunt signed there? Oops, you know, I'm drafting him like he's going to be this workhorse back that catches passes. And again, that's just situational take. That's not like skill take, but it's a similar thing. And maybe that's our next area where we could talk about ways to repair your roster is fade yourself in a way, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, right. Yeah, I still want to talk about Javonte if you do.
Yeah,
but
keep going.
You don't want to be married to anything. I mean, I'm in too many leagues and you always have guys that want to tell you who's available. And I always think the same thing, which is why isn't everybody always available? I mean, you're not going to get, you never be married in fantasy football. Just you're always.
And in real life life,
you know, you're always a player and you're just not, there's no reason to be married to pick sort of players. Everybody's available always, you know, Javonte Williams. So sure. Like he fits in the bucket where you're talking about guys coming off injuries. What the lesson I think on him has been this year is just always remember how far away the season is. Like the first reports on Williams were ominous. And then this week, maybe even like yesterday, he was on the field and like, oh, he looks good. So we're okay. We're back to Javonte Williams, you know, he's still so far off. Williams and a couple guys just kind of get lost because I don't know, we're bored. We assume they're going to be hurt. We know the ACL history and it doesn't always turn out that way. So you get to a point in the middle of these drafts where you might as well take a shot.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly, you know what? This was a glass of, or a bucket of cold water on the Javonte Williams buy low thing, right? Cause you hear it all the time. You know, you hear, buy low on this player. It's like, wait a second, but no one's really selling him low. They're selling someone like Javonte at retail cost, at sticker cost. And that's what I think the next tip is here to how to repair your dynasty rosters. Also, be aware of the dynasty calendar. You know when you'll be able to, quote, buy low on this injured player is when the games start and that player is not playing yet. Like Breece Hall, for example, would be our next guy, right? Breece Hall, everyone loves Breece Hall. He was probably the RB1 before he got hurt in Dynasty. There was going to be a good argument for that. I mean, he still goes pretty high, right? I still see in Dynasty startups, he's still the second through fifth running back taken, depending on your flavor. But if you want someone like that, when the game starts, it's week two, and the team that took him in the second round is 0-2, that's the time to strike and build your roster and rebuild it for within the season.
Yeah, he'll be interesting because the Jets, in terms of like talking about Javonte Williams and how they sound, how have the Jets sounded? Always very confident and positive that he'll be ready. But what have been their actions? You know, they drafted Abanikanda. They were supposedly in on Gibbs in the first round. So, like, they haven't acted so much like they're confident. And he's kind of been the reverse of Javonte Williams because lately, now we're starting to hear a little bit of caution about Breece Hall. You know, running backs are, like, so key in Dynasty because, like, if you're at the bottom, you kind of want to trade them all. I mean, when you think about the lifespan and when am I going to be good? I mean, not necessarily Breece Hall or Bijan, who are so young, but anybody.
You talking about like the Joe Mixon types, the Najee Harris types that are 25, Barkley, 26. Barkley,
Eckler, you know, these
even
guys.
Even Pollard.
I think Pollard is one where now would be a time to sell because, like, sky's the limit, right? No one else is there, and everybody loves Tony Pollard. But they probably also have someone else, whether it's on somebody on the roster now or yet to be, Elliott, playing a role. So, yeah, like some guys like him, I think he's maybe a really good example of, you know, trading now versus other guys you want to sort of let the season start and see what you have. Like James Cook in Buffalo, right now he's like a mid, seventh or eighth round, somewhere in there.
Something like RB, like 16-ish to 20, somewhere in there, that range.
Yeah. And we don't, why? Because we don't know just exactly how big his role will be. Season starts, it's probably a great offense. And if his role is outstanding, then he's worth a lot more. So some guys make sense to trade him in the offseason, and others are better, you know, you're better off waiting until the season gets going and you learn new information.
Another key thing I think that dynasty managers can do to fix that roster very quickly is look at how a player's full season stats compare to how they finish the season. That's one of my favorite things to do is look at someone, how they finished the last 8 weeks, 6 weeks. And for example, and this is, I'm so curious on how, you know, what you're thinking, someone like Christian Watson, right? He is being treated very differently than the other second year wide receivers that produced, like Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. Those guys are top five, top six dynasty wide receivers. Christian Watson is probably, you know, 15 to 18. But yet, you know, when I look at when Christian Watson was inserted into the starting lineup full time around week 10, those last 8 weeks, he was wide receiver 9. That's a top 10 wide receiver. So is this another way we can supercharge our rosters quickly by targeting someone like that who the market has not yet put in that tier one bucket that could be there the following year?
I mean, it's certainly logical to think when you have a rookie at any position, maybe you want to do what you said, give more weight to the end of the season because you'd expect there to be a transition. A lot of guys, you know, coaches want to take them slow. Who knows what they look like? It's just that that kind of thing happens a lot. But there's also so much else to consider. You know, of course, the quarterback change in terms of Watson, what that means. Very explosive player for sure. But there's also, like, strength of opponent. You know, back to Akers, if I might, for a second. Like, Akers is an interesting player to talk about because he had such a strange season. He was away from the team, and then he came back, and he became huge in the fantasy playoffs. And, like, oh, look at how he ended his season. Well, he got a coach fired in Nate Hackett in a game against the Denver team that, you know, proverbially had run for the bus. So there's so much to consider too. Who are those games against? Sometimes even weather can mess with statistics and performance. But yeah, it's certainly a logical and a good thought to, especially with rookies, see where it ended up. And then, you know, as many constants as there are in a situation, is the quarterback the same, other talent on the team, right, coaching staff, then you can make a firmer prediction.
Yeah. I want to hit this point about coaching because I think that's what you bring up there is another way we could fix our dynasty roster quickly by recognizing those situations. But I don't want to let go of this Christian Watson thing for a second because this is the most dynasty question. And I like, because I have the same philosophy that you do, is that I don't like, I have player takes some of my observations and stuff, but you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, this is definitely this. Like, I'm open to being wrong and the alternative and all that stuff. But Christian Watson, like, in redraft, Cooper Kupp is going to go in the first round of single quarterback leagues. Christian Watson's like a fifth or sixth round pick or something like that. But in Dynasty, I've had to make this decision when on the clock, Christian Watson or Cooper Kupp. And there's no wrong answer here. It just depends on what kind of a bet you want to make. What do you, you know, given that you just need your second wide receiver, who you taking when you're on the clock in a Dynasty format?
I mean, I want to definitely answer this question. I'm also looking at this startup we're doing where it was wide receiver 18 and Watson was 20. So it's really close.
That's my point. It's like, it's right there.
The cop out answer is like, well, what else, who else do I have? You know, like if I have a team, if I've drafted one of these older running backs we've talked about, then I think it's Kupp. Then I think I'm trying to win. I would be more the style to take the guy who's older. Because like I said, I don't like, not that Watson does this for you, but giving away seasons, you know, the rookies who were drafted in Zay Flowers or somebody drafted in the first round this year. I think I want to sort of, it's kind of the opposite of how I am usually in redraft, where I am afraid of the age model robbing me of my, you know, my glory. I never draft Henry. I never draft these older guys. And, you know, I've been burned because obviously sometimes they outlast what you think is going to happen with their career. But in Dynasty, I think the value for me peers the other way, where give me the guy who's older, because more and more players just want to build around youth.
Yeah, that's a good point. I just want to take a quick break here, Mike, and tell everyone about Circus Sports. Have you been out to Circus Sports Casino? Yeah, I mean, just in a couple words, just because they're a sponsor of this podcast. I'm about to tell you something that they're doing right now, a contest, but just if you were to pitch it to somebody right now, hey, I'm thinking about going, Mike, I want to stay somewhere in Las Vegas. You know me, I love sports, but I mean, why should I say it's Circa Sports?
I mean, it's everything, right? I have not stayed there, but I've been there, and it's there. Just, it's spectacular.
What do you think the best part about it is? What's the best part?
Geez, I don't know. Cool.
The pool is, that's what I'm saying, the swim-up pool. See, that comes to mind. I mean, you could swim up and play blackjack in the pool. They have, like, the waterproof chips. They have the sickest sports book. But, Mike, what they're doing is the ultimate fantasy football draft can only take place in Las Vegas Circa Resort and Casino, and they want to bring your whole league, Mike, to Vegas for the ultimate draft experience giveaway. Bring your 12-person league for a two-night stay at Circa Resort and have a draft at the cabana at the stadium swim-up. Plus, yeah. Limo transportation to and from the airport, welcome party at the Legacy Club, at a booth at the world's largest sports book, a prize package worth over $8,000. There's no better place to draft than Circa. You have to be 21 or older. Go to circaslasvegas.com for more information. And there's a link in the video description or audio description if you're listening to this. Now, I have told every single one of my league members to enter this. I mean, come on. This is this is what you always talk about. And I know everyone has lives, but if they're going to do some sort of special thing, we'll convince at least 8 of our 12 league members to show up, and the other ones will just draft on Zoom or something. So
Does it have a set date, this contest?
It's probably draft? Running until my – again, I you have to click on that for more information, but my guess is that they're running it until, you know, whenever it goes, and then I'm sure they'll work with your league. They'll give you some options because they're, you know, they're going to have more than one winner, apparently. So they'll work all that out. Yeah. Now, I mean, you know, we always talk about getting together. That's like a thing. You remember the days of like getting your league together, man. I mean, there was nothing better. It's just not going to happen anymore for most situations. Mm-hmm. Or do you guys still get together with like your home league?
We do. Okay. I mean, it'd be easier. But now everybody's got families, so it's a little bit more complicated. I've been out to Vegas. I'll be there again for the opening night game. I've been out there the last couple of years for that, for FFPC stuff. And I drafted the Bare Knuckle, which is a 28-round, 12-team draft that's held right after the opening night game. Nice. And you can't use your phone or any notes. It's all from memory.
Yeah, I got the cheat sheet in my head at this point. You know, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, no, that's tough, though. That's really tough. I love that.
Again, by the way, Akers is another – here he is again. Like, last year, remember, opening night, he did nothing. And so I go into the ballroom for the Bare Knuckle Challenge draft, and I drafted him in the 9th round, I think. It was the opening night game counts.
Yes.
Part of the season. And, yeah, that's one thing that happened last year. But that is really a tough one.
Yeah, no, I could imagine. I think by the time August rolls around, I basically have memorized the default rankings on Sleeper, FFPC, NFFC, all of them. So yeah. It's just in that, by the way, I'm not saying that proudly. I think that that's a sickness that I have.
Right, well, you should come out. I mean, you get 30 seconds to go 28 rounds. You got to know all the kickers. Like, it's a good challenge.
Oh, it's not even team kickers? I got to know the actual kicker names?
Yes.
All right, I better draft Justin Tucker a little early.
That's right. That's right. That's a good strategy.
What do you think about kickers in Dynasty? Yes or no? That's like that's basically like arguing the Sunnis versus the Shias. Like that's an argument with vitriol attached to it.
I like kickers in fantasy in general because it's just a little bit of another way you can get an edge if you're willing to do the work and you're sort of on it. Streaming kickers, I think, is good. People who complain about the randomness of it. There's a lot of randomness in every position and all in the whole thing. So I like having kickers in leagues. Dynasty is where I think, you know, it's not as interesting streaming, like you want to, what are you going to just all the time through the offseason or anything like that? I don't think you need it so much in Dynasty.
Yeah, the reason that, you know, I just had this argument with a friend of mine and he talked about like he wants kickers. I do not want kickers. And the reason is not because, and he goes, well, you think they're random. He said the same argument that you did. You think that kickers are random? That sure, they are, but Justin Tucker's not random, right? I mean, we know that he's a lock to finish as a top five kicker. And if you knew, like, let's say I told you that who the number one kicker was going to be this year. Like I time machined it. It was going to be, you know, Brandon McManus. I don't even know if he's in the league anymore.
He just got traded. Or he just was released by Denver and signed by Jacksonville.
Okay, so perfect. So what if you say, if I told you, and you only, Mike, that you knew that Brandon McManus was the number one kicker in 2023, you have this information, no one else does, where would you draft him?
Round 13.
Right. And you know what? Right, okay, because no one's going to suspect that. And that's my point, is like, I was going to say round 10, just to make sure. Like, you don't even need to do that. But if I knew I had the number one kicker, but the point is the same, is that... The kicker makes a difference. The fact that we don't know which one it is generally, other than Justin Tucker, that's why they go at the end of drafts.
And, you know, I said before how I associate certain players and points with certain analysts. This point for me is Chris Liss.
There you go.
Because he would make this. Yes, he would make that argument that there it's not as random as you think, or it's not as random as defense, which I believe is correct. So, there's value in it.
Yeah, the reason that the defense is random is because the fumble six touchdown, the pick six touchdowns, that type of stuff.
Yeah, and you're going to stream, I mean, cut several of your late round guys at skill positions too. Like, yep. There'll be injuries and, you know, you got to do stuff. So the last five or six rounds of these drafts, I sort of prepare for who's somebody I can get rid of. I don't want to have a backup quarterback that I'm saving for a bye week or something. Like, I've got to have guys that I know I can move on from easily because you're going to want to be on the wire.
I just want to underline what you just said. I'm going to basically repeat it, but I want to just so the audience understands, because Mike just brought up something. And again, this is, we talked about fixing your dynasty roster. This is a universal tip right here, is that you want roster fluidity at the end of your draft. And if you take your favorite sleeper in round 12, you're going to be less likely to cut bait when you should. So if you take your kicker in the 12th or 13th round and you have your favorite sleepers, in round 15, 16 in a typical home league draft, you're going to cut those guys in round two when the wide receiver that emerges or the running back that emerges. So it's psychologically, it helps you. Again, if you're going to pay up for a kicker, I love that right there. And I think that's a very good tip in Dynasty 2, which is a good way to fix your roster is... You know, before you cut guys, now listen, no one wants your garbage, right? No, you know, you can't be putting Austin Hooper on the trade block and expect you're going to get anything for him. But keep that back of that roster fluid at all times, because you need to speculate on running back threes on roster. So if there is a running back three on a real NFL roster sitting on your waiver wire, I think that a good way to fix your roster quickly is to roster those guys, get rid of your sixth and seventh wide receiver. And if and when those guys show a window, Mike, that's the time to cash them in for a second-round pick. I stupidly paid a second-round pick for Deion Jackson last year when he had a 10-catch game.
One thing that Dynasty is tricky here as opposed to redraft for this. So you want to have, in my opinion, big rosters, taxi squads, that kind of thing, IR spots. So you don't have, like, you don't want to be so crushed with injuries and, oh, geez, I need to win. I want to be in the game for this waivers player, whoever it is. But, like, you've got guys that you would cut in redraft, but in dynasty they might have value. You know, the rookie running backs who got picked on Saturday, for example. So I think if you're setting up a league, then you want to make sure your rosters are big enough to accommodate that, because it's hard to cut. I don't want to have to cut Dwayne McBride, you know, but in the first month of the season, just because he's not playing a lot, or Abanaconda or one of these other guys that I think are talented.
Yeah, and okay, sometimes you're going to end up with Darrington Evans on your roster, who he was a good fourth-round running back, and you hold, then you cut. But if you pick up all these type of players that you're talking about, Dwayne McBride, the rookie that was on Minnesota, or, you know, all these guys that are just end-of-the-roster guys, you'll know pretty quickly. That's a bad way to phrase it. You'll have clarified times where you could use them. They'll say, the Minnesota Vikings say, McBride's our starter this week. You could basically pencil in 12 to 15 touches, where as if some wide receiver gets the playing time because Justin Jefferson is missing a game, there's no guarantee that guy's getting Justin Jefferson's targets or even a piece of those.
Right. No, that's huge. Like, I think you want to be long on running backs on these rosters and shorter on receivers. You know, day three receivers, like you said, that's the right point. Will they even produce? And I mean, I think they're just very much more interchangeable in fantasy because of this reason. So I want to have not necessarily a ton of these rookie Saturday F-pick guys at running back, but right now there are, the way this draft was, I mean, you might have 10 of those guys here, more. Bigsby and the guys we mentioned already, and Sean Tucker, the guys who weren't even drafted, Hull and Eric Gray, like one injury away, or they really show in the preseason, maybe. So that's what I'm trying to do in rookie drafts in Dynasty, is get as many of those guys as I can afford. And I think this year is a great year for that. I mean, I want to be moving from like the top to the middle of the second round down to a couple of rounds from there and getting, you know, something else with it, because I just don't think there's much of a difference between maybe Charbonnet, who lands in Seattle, and these other guys. You know, you want to have some of everybody, I guess. Just this was really a good year for that. There's a lot of these running backs. And then you also have other veterans who are aging out, and it could be a big, real transition year at that position in the league.
You talked about Charbonnet, and I think this ties back to how we could fix our dynasty rosters quickly. I mean, Kenneth Walker, on many credible dynasty rankings, my own included, before the NFL draft, I had him as my RB1. And again, it's not like, oh my God, he's the clear-cut LaDainian Tomlinson RB1. It's like, no, he's just a young running back in dynasty, which is impossible to buy, 21-year-old running backs, unless you want to, you know, break into your 401k. But you basically, if Ken Walker is going to fall 7 or 8 RB spots, so that's like a 2 or 3 round difference given all the other positions that get drafted there. Yeah. Maybe he's the type of player we should be leaning into to fix our dynasty rosters quickly. How are you juxtaposing like Zach Charbonnet? And I mean, nobody knows the answer, but what do you think is a good way to approach it from a mindset and dynasty perspective with him and Zach Charbonnet?
I'm totally with you on that, because I think that some players tend to overreact to the landing spot, and the talent is more bankable. So the guy's good. He's a draft capital investment too. Seattle is annoying because they just keep overlapping with these running backs. You saw last year how valuable Walker became when Penny got hurt. So I like everything about him for this. And maybe he's attainable in a way that Hall isn't, or, you know, Bijan isn't. So, yeah, Walker is a great idea for an acquisition, because if somebody in your league is worried about how much he'll play, saw him as a starter on a team that they mean to have win now, and maybe they're worried about that.
Yeah, that's, you know, we're sharing a mindset here. We're not going to disagree on that one. The other one is like these older, when I say older, like 32-year-old quarterbacks. I mean, last year, Geno Smith was available on Superflex waiver wires. A couple of years ago, Ryan Tannehill, when he, you know, emerged with the Titans, the second part of his career. So buying these guys at basically bargain bottom bargain prices. So there's a couple quarterbacks that it's going to seem ugly, Mike Schoop, but Baker Mayfield might be a starting quarterback with elite weapons from an NFL perspective. On the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he has Mike Evans. He has Chris Godwin. Rashad White, we talked about a moment ago, as a pass-catching threat. I'm not saying you proactively go push your league mates out of the way, but is this a cheap way to fix the quarterback position when no one in your league is looking?
Handy, it might be. I mean, hard to know who the player is going to be, but I think it's the right thought. Be open to it. It could be Mayfield. It could be Tannehill again, right?
Yes,
like he's got the same status or worse, and he's still on Tennessee. You know, it could be a Jacoby Brissett, somebody like that just emerges and produces. Like in Superflex, I think it's right to have some exposure to guys like that get written off. If they're written off, then they're more affordable. And so, sure, Darnold, even still in San Francisco, maybe there's a path for him.
Right? Let me ask you this, Mike. What's the under-over in Mike's sports book for starts for Sam Darnold in 2023? What would you set that number at?
I'm the book.
You're the book.
I would say,
let's do this a little differently. I'm going to give you the number, and you tell me where you would bet. In Allen's sports books, I'm setting it at the number at 4.5. Under or over starts?
Under for me. It's interesting, but my take is, from what it sounds like to me, is that Purdy is ready and that he starts. And Lance is there. I don't think they should want to trade Lance because he's on a rookie deal and there's still that unknown. I think they should want to keep him. I would love to see them use him in packages, even if Brock Purdy is a starting quarterback. But I think the bet on the Darnold line comes down to whether you're buying that Purdy will be healthy, because if he is, I have little doubt that he's the starter.
Yeah, that's. I mean, this is one of. If you were to write a book on the 2023 offseason and dynasty, Purdy versus Darnold versus Trey Lance deserves its own chapter, right? I mean, it could be all three or none. I mean, we're talking now Lance is probably QB 18, we said. Purdy goes even a little bit later than that. If we find out he's healthy, I'm sure he'll rise. And, you know, Sam Darnold is basically undrafted in best ball and in dynasty drafts. I mean, I think that he's probably the most valuable backup quarterbacks. In fact, we talked about, as a way to fix your dynasty roster, rostering these running back twos and running back threes, I think a little bit of an underrated fix, a quick fix, is collecting these high-end backups in Superflex leagues, the Sam Darnolds. Who do you think are a couple of these other players? I mean, I picked up Cooper Rush again in a league where it's like super deep rosters, not because I think that he's good, but if he gets a start in week 8 because Dak just has to miss a game or something, I mean, that's a player that you could turn into a third-round pick just because you picked him up off a third-round rookie pick because somebody needs a spot start from a quarterback. So who do you think are some of the other quarterbacks that are basically backups at this point that we might at some point want to think about getting his throw-ins or trades, picking off the waiver wire, or if you're in a startup draft, just taking him in the later rounds?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No, I have a fun answer to this question. I have one guy. I don't know all the backup quarterbacks. I mean, Tyler Huntley is always interesting for this with his running capabilities. You know, of course, Lance. I probably could look at a grid of the league and come up with names, but I do have a favorite.
You said Brissett. Which is a good one. I like that one a lot.
Just for like a floor play probably with him, but, you know, somebody that can get you points. Like, you're still starting Brissett as a starting quarterback over receivers or running backs in Superflex. The name for me, I don't really have him on teams because it's too deep a dive, I guess. But the name for me for this is Jarrett Stidham in Denver.
I just drafted. Wait, you know what? Let me just. You make me feel so good. I just drafted Jarrett Stidham 10 minutes before we went on in round 20, whatever.
Wow.
Now he's on the Denver Broncos now, right? Let's hear it because I got flame for this pick. So, but I'm with you. I'm with you. So, what's the Jarrett Stidham upside case?
Easy. If Russell Wilson is terrible again, then maybe he gets a chance, and I think he might be good. I mean, late in the year, last year, if you ended up playing him for some reason with the Raiders, he just killed it. And I was kind of surprised that the Raiders didn't keep him after that. Maybe they could have. I don't know. But
too much of a threat like to Jimmy Denver. G, right? Too much. I mean, do you even, you know, we had this conversation. I didn't know the answer. I'm sure you're going to know. But if you don't, there's no embarrassment here. Mm-hmm. Who's the backup quarterback for the Raiders right now as of time of this recording?
I forgot. We just talked about this on the air a couple days ago.
I'll give you a hint.
It is a known name.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So just keep in mind that Josh McDaniels, Patriots, is the
Brian
coach.
Hoyer.
So there you go. Brian Hoyer.
We talked about this yesterday on WGR. And how his real name is Axel. And then so why would he not go by Axel? You didn't ask for any of this, Alan, but he doesn't go by Axel. It's his dad's name. And they always meant for him to be called Brian, but he didn't want that was his name growing up. But Axel is his given first name. And he tells a story about how he was made fun of in school when his teachers would call him Axel. And they had to send a note in to the teachers to tell them he goes by Brian and take him off hook. I think Axel's a cool name.
Oh, way cooler. Way cooler.
He's never gone by it. So, wow. That was only yesterday. I had all this conversation on the air and I forgot again who the Raider backup is. But
yep. And then of course they drafted the fourth round pick, Aiden O'Connell. But point is, right. You know what the point is? Point is, I forgot what our point is. No, we're talking about Jarrett Stidham, that he's a high end desirable backup. You want a roster because right. Sean Payton, we know he's got a little DJAF to him. And if Russell Wilson, if they're 1-3, 2-4, 3-5, and it's on Russ. I mean, we've seen Stidham flash. They'll be a benching. And
yes, I think so.
Yeah, and that's an offense. We want a Sean Payton offense. So, who do you prioritize? We're going deep into the dynasty trenches right now. If you were to prioritize one of those guys, Sam Darnold or Stidham, who do you think is more likely to have a fantasy impact, and which one of those guys would you roster if you could only roster one?
It depends on your feelings about Wilson. Maybe Stidham with there being two other guys in San Francisco. So I guess I would say that, but I haven't been drafting him. You did.
Yeah. Well, it's a super deep league, you know, 30, yeah, yeah. 40 rounder. I'm in round 30. So
somebody wrote Mike White in
yeah,
the chat.
That's a,
too,
isn't that a good one? Isn't that a good one? I'll let you handle Mike White. I'll tag on, but you brought it
simply,
up.
Simply Tua's concussion history, right? And weapons in Miami. He was decent for the Jets in his spot starts. And then last year, throws the ball to the running back a lot, if that, you know, means anything to you. But it's an interesting name. I am in on Tua because I'm buying that he's okay. You know, I'm not here. I'm not making a judgment on his long term or talking about the dangerousness of the sport. But I do think, you know, he's got a different helmet. What did he do? Jiu-jitsu or something to sort of he's bigger.
Learn how to fall.
Right. So I'm not like there are people who are just avoiding him because they're worried that he's one hit away. And I'm not one of them.
Right. Well, I don't think that any these are the things that I think the narrative, and they're mostly true on Tua, is that no one thinks of Tua as like this elite Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, or Josh Allen talent. But what we do know is that even him being a C-plus, a B-minus quarterback is going to make him a top 6-7 quarterback because of the weapons that he has. He's super accurate, right? And, you know, the weapons, Waddle and Tyreek, will drag him to a top 8 finish no matter what. The issue is, now, if he gets another concussion, I mean, it's career ender, sure, it's in play here, but the public pressure to keep him out for 6-8 games is a real thing. So I've been in startups where he goes in the second round. That's a little too risky for me, and that's where he would go if he was didn't have this concussion history. He just went in the 5th or 6th round at a startup I'm in now. I think that squeezes all the risk out of it because of everything that you just said.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right. And he was good. You said it. He was good last year when he was on the field. And that pressure, we saw it manifest when it was the game against the Jets when he wasn't concussed, but he still didn't play. Like, they had all this confusion after what happened in the game in Cincinnati, at Buffalo game before that. Just a lot of weirdness there. But, yeah, I'm in on him. Gotta love the surrounding cast and everything, coaching.
Did we just identify another way to fix your roster? If somebody doesn't want let's say someone has Tua as their QB2, we agree that he could be elite for fantasy football. Do you go and try to offer, you know, Will Levis and a second rounder for him? Say, hey, man, you want out on Tua? Here you go. People like rookies. They like picks. I mean, that's a snap call from a price, right? You're going to give Will Levis or someone in that range, that QB 15 to 20 range, with a pick for Tua, no problem.
I would. He's young, too.
Like 25.
That's not a problem. He's 5 years older. Maybe that's different. But I would. I like that idea a lot. And especially as long as your team's not terrible. If your team's terrible, then maybe you just sort of be patient and go with your rookies. But otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anything about terrible teams. All my teams are elite, Mike.
They're all good?
Yeah. Now, where would Mike White be? Let's say that Tua, you know, God forbid, just decides to, you know, retire, walk the earth, whatever, right? Where would Mike White, if he was named the starting quarterback, where would he be ranked in just say the seasonal rankings, and then we'll tie it back to Dynasty? QB what?
I think still pretty low, maybe 24, somewhere in there.
I think people would push him up. I think
really be higher than that?
Where would you take him or Aaron Rodgers in fantasy football?
In Dynasty?
No, in one season.
Rodgers.
Really? State the case for Rodgers then, because not even compared to Mike White, but this is an interesting weight on quarterback Dynasty guy that, listen, if Rodgers has a good showing, you'll be able to get more than he's probably worth right now, and that's a good way to fix your Dynasty roster. So why do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to be a good fantasy quarterback this year?
I don't know if I think he's going to be good, but I think he shouldn't be terrible. You know, we're talking about a starter in super flex, right? Is he a starter in single? Maybe not. But, man, there's a lot to like there. And as bumpy as last year was and as easy as it's been to criticize him, he was the MVP of the NFL the prior two seasons, like, bottom line. So maybe he's old now. Maybe he's terrible now. I don't think an adjustment to a new team with an offense he's familiar with anyway is really important. He's got Garrett Wilson. You know, they've got a lot of talent and maybe a good line if they have that. I guess that remains to be seen. All I'm saying is I would take him over Miami's backup. But, I feel like there's an upside case for Rodgers.
It wasn't Miami's backup. It was whoever the Miami starter is. But you're saying there's a significant drop off. Okay, but again, these are real questions that Dynasty managers are going to face. And the last tip or so that I want to give Dynasty managers a way to fix their roster, and you said it earlier, which sparked this thought, was identify which systems or coaching changes have happened and which players are undervalued. What comes to mind right away is Baltimore. Lamar Jackson fell to me at pick 11 in a Superflex startup draft, Mike.
Wow.
He was right. He should be, you know, right after the big three are off the board, he should be being considered, him or Trevor Lawrence, right? I mean, if you're not a Burrow or Herbert person, if you want. So even in that tier. So is there anything that happened with Baltimore and all of their players? What do you expect from them? And is this a buying opportunity, a way to fix our roster a little bit quicker?
You know, he'd be my quarterback 4 in
over
Dynasty.
Burrow? Over Herbert? Burrow.
Yes. Over Lawrence. I mean, he's has a potential to be the absolute most valuable player in the league.
He's already been.
He's been the NFL MVP. Yeah, like we've seen. I'm not even sure that's the ceiling, what that was. I mean, he did lead the league in touchdown passes that year, but it still wasn't high yardage. And I've always been a believer in his passing talent. I've always resented sort of the trite, you know, sometimes even racist kind of criticisms he faces, in my opinion. I was a Heisman Trophy voter and voted for Jackson twice the year he won. And then the next year when Mayfield won, I thought he was the best pocket passer in that draft. So anyway, I can be biased. Like I can sort of get locked in on Jackson. You didn't know that by bringing this up, but yeah, I mean, I love the bull case for him this year with all the weapons and this coordinator. This coordinator sounds just perfect for them. I think Indianapolis is too, another team where you've got the coaching change and it's exciting to think about. I know with a rookie who's got a lot to prove himself in Richardson, what that can look like, but
There's no discount on Richardson though, Mike. There's no discount there. You have to pay.
No. Yeah. I mean, he was a first round pick in this startup I'm in too.
He's a first rounder, I think. Huh? Interesting.
112. Wow. Yeah.
You know,
it's exciting.
Yeah, in best ball, you know, Richardson's moved ahead in seasonal ahead of Dak now. I mean, you have to take him in the eighth round, which, by the way, I'm all about it because in these single quarterback leagues, I think it's better to take swings on these guys because you can always pad them. You know, in your regular home league where there's 16 rounds, Aaron Rodgers, Ryan Tannehill, Derek Carr, all these guys are available on the waiver wire. So if you do miss on the high upside guy, sometimes they think like, oh, you don't want to, you want to take your upside shots at the end at quarterback. I think you want to take them earlier. So, you know.
Yeah. And all these teams who drafted quarterbacks at the top sound ready to let those guys start right away. Not every day do they sound like that. Like Reich is doing everybody, you know, who is it? Carolina, Dalton.
Bryce. Oh, yeah, Andy Dalton's the backup, right?
Yeah, like he's got to – the coaches have to put up a front. Sometimes they actually mean it, where the veteran Minshew in Indianapolis, you know, working with the ones, that kind of thing. But when they drafted these quarterbacks, they all sounded good to me for week one starter status, which, you know, you don't know that on Richardson yet, but I'm optimistic for him to start week one, and that would just be – it would just go a huge step toward justifying that draft position.
Yeah, man, I think that we've given the people some great tips on how to fix those dynasty rosters quickly. If you have any questions about any of the tactics or the players we talked about, you could tweet at us directly. I'm at Alan Cislowski. Mike, give your Twitter handle.
At Shope Talk, which is my last name, Shopptalk.
And it's in the video description and audio description below.
Okay, great. And that Deep End Fantasy Football Podcast, which I do with Adam Krautwurst, that handle is on the screen if you're watching. Deep End FF1.
All right. And for the last few minutes here, I just have a couple questions for you. What? So you're on the radio, the traditional radio in Buffalo. How long have you been doing that? What's your like history in radio and in sports specifically?
Yeah, it's a long time now. I started at my current station, WGR. Flagship station Bills and Sabres in 2002. I've been on Afternoon Drive with the Bulldog Chris Parker since 2003. You know, pretty good little run. I did some work in Rochester before that, and so kind of a traditional path. You go to school, St. John Fisher in Rochester, get a degree in
It was a broad
communications journalism degree. So it was a school in the area in Rochester that was, you know, kind of well known for radio, TV, media. And then I worked at the newspaper in Rochester for a few years after that. Did some writing, not out of sports too. And then just wanted to, it's funny, I wanted to move from journalism, from newspapers to radio because I wanted more feedback. I wanted more immediacy, you know, like I want to say something and then I need somebody to tell me if they agree or disagree. Like that's what talk radio is, you know, and that's what you're going for. And now 20 years later, I've had enough of it. I don't want to always, you know, now you go to Twitter. If you really mean something, you tweet it. Right. And I'll try to flip in a comment or two here and there and try to stay interesting. But now like everybody's talking and there's so much feedback toward in every direction. And I feel like I've got my fill.
So let me ask you this. What do you think the future of like of sports interactions are from with podcasts and talk radio? How do you what I mean, you have your reputation. People follow you because they trust your opinion. They trust you. They enjoy listening to you. You've become, you know, when they turn on their car and they have to turn on the radio in the car in the afternoon, like you're just basically part of what their routine. So what do you do to keep that fresh? And what you just said is a very flooded landscape of player takes at this point. Yeah. and just takes in general.
Yeah, I'm lucky to have, I think, gotten to a point where I don't have to force stuff. You know, I feel like I can be believed. It's always been how I've done it. And so, you know, you just got to be real. Whatever it is, I can't deal with the shows that are just going to, whatever they're going to contrive. I know how popular they are. It's just,
you mean like,
so
like the Skip and Shannon type of stuff where they're just, God. Right.
I mean,
which is okay. It's, you know, some people like it. I don't, it's not my type of stuff, but I understand why people like it.
It's a, just a, it's playing in my version, my idea of hell, right? Like these shows. So, I mean, my advice would be just be genuine, be honest, you know, all the time. And I went for being somebody that wanted to be honest about the Bills, which didn't always really help me in terms of popularity because they had a 17-year playoff drought basically right when I got into radio, and that just recently ended. So I think in terms of fantasy, Alan, it's really friendly. You know, there's so much like today. I mean, engagement between sites and people.
Oh, yeah.
And I've really enjoyed that because sports radio can be hostile. And like I said, sort of fans can hate you because you're honest and they just are no team. And like, that's just how it is. And it's not always enjoyable, but fantasy, I feel like, you know, I'm sure somebody can give you a hard time about a take, but it's a way friendlier environment and, you know, in the industry, I think, and I've really enjoyed that.
So, I mean, at this point, you're decades into your radio career. I mean, does that sound funny to hear that?
Sure. No, it's right.
Yeah, decades in, you're very relaxed. You know, you got from my perspective, a very professionally polished voice. You know, I've been doing stuff with audio for maybe like 4 or 5 years. You know, I've been doing other things in the fantasy space a little bit longer than that. But sometimes, you know, it's like when I'm talking on the phone with my friends about fantasy football and we're having these good conversations, like, I wish this was the tone I could bring to the podcast. I know it's just reps, but how long did it take you until you were just like, You didn't put on these inflections on your voice and like this, and you just kind of just started talking how you're talking, how we're talking right now. Because I find myself like putting it on a little bit unintentionally sometimes when I'm in podcast mode.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really like, I think I would say a certain amount of time or shows or years or anything. You just get there. It's just a gradual thing. When I started, my first days in Buffalo radio were the year 2000, and I had come from writing. And I literally wrote my first 20 minutes. Like, that's what I would do. I would get to the station and I would write an essay that I would read, you know, trying to not sound like I'm reading. And so I was getting started in this new job, and I had a program director who I can still see him walking by me at the first commercial break. He's like, "Why did you write all that out? Like, what are you doing?" And like, because he must have been able to tell that I had read it. And he's like, "I don't think you need to do that." I said, "Well, you know, I'll get there."
Process. It's trust
the
process.
Like, everybody says be prepared. I'm like, well, this is how I'll be prepared. I will literally write the show out on this piece of paper and read from it. That's a long time ago now. Yeah. And I don't know. You just get there, Alan, I think. Try to get out of your own head and just talk. Just be real.
No, man, you said it. And it's getting that way for me now. You know, getting some reps and podcasts and some opportunities on Sirius and things like that. But, you know, Mike, I just enjoy talking to you. I've wanted to have you on the podcast for a long time. I do appreciate you coming on, man. Mike's podcast links are all in the video or audio description below. Check him out. Some really good takes, just good conversation and always good content. So, all right, everybody, that's going to be it. We're going to be back next week, next Thursday. We're going to go live instead of Friday like normally. We're going to have Jax Falcone on. We're going to mix it up a little bit. But, Mike Shope, you did it. You brought the ruckus for us, and any questions, send to him. Don't send to me about any of these tactics that we talked about. Well, good luck in your dynasty leagues.
Noise, noise. The sun goes down.